Women That Lead presents Our Leading Edge, featuring your host, Jenna Forster, Mastermind Executive Coach, inspiring women to lead with alignment, passion, and purpose through conversations that inspire. Stretch yourself to a new level. Learn, grow, expand. And now, here's your host, Jenna Forster.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Our Leading Edge. We are on our third show, and we are going to mix things up a little bit today. I spent some time the first couple of shows sharing a little bit about some of my philosophies and really what brought me to where I am right now. But today, I'm very excited to be learning alongside all of you with someone that I consider to be a master. I have an expert in the field of leadership, Scott Sadler, here. He's taking some time out of his hectic, busy schedule to share information and insight on what I believe is a very hot topic in the corporate world. Scott's expertise resides around millennials in the workplace. And for those of you listening in that happen to work or lead within an organization, you know that there is a great deal of perceived, quote-unquote, pain anytime there's a generational transition. It's a little bit about Scott. Scott is known to many of his clients as the Millennial Mentor, and due to demand, Scott has written his book, A Guide for Developing Successful Millennial Leaders, and that was published in October of 2014. What I really love about Scott is that he's not just a talking head. Scott is living his passion. He's a speaker, executive coach, and an author. But not only has he been a successful business leader for nearly 3 decades, he truly understands challenges that occur while you're engaging with the most important and truly the most expensive asset in any business. That's your people or your human capital. Scott has also become a trusted advisor in companies across the country, helping them deepen communication and get to yes, as he puts it, in their daily leadership engagements. His ever-expanding client list includes Doc Martin, SAIF Corporation, Meeting Professionals International, and Kimpton Hotels. He's also the Director of Workplace Programs for the Executive Coaching University, which serves clients in 38 countries. So, without further ado, Scott, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jenna. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And I want to get right down to it, Scott. So I know that you work with companies that are not connecting to their millennial workforce, those companies that would like to develop millennials into leaders for their organization. So I'd like to start at the beginning and really ask you to start off by sharing with our audience just some basic information about millennials.
Wow. Well, we could spend 4 hours talking about basic information about millennials. But some very interesting things are occurring. And I think that millennials have been misaligned in the press and to a certain degree. And there's some myths out there around who they are and what they're expecting in a work environment. For example, one statistic says that most millennials will have 20 jobs in their lifetime. And as an employer myself, that brings up a lot of anxiety in me because that tells me that about the time I'm getting somebody settled in and really rolling in my organization, around 18 months, they're looking to leave. And as an employer, that's something that I obviously – it hurts my business. And I need to find a better way to connect to keep millennials engaged in my organization. The other interesting statistic that always comes up is that millennials are entitled. Is that a fact or a myth? And in my experience, I think it's a myth. I think that millennials are very interested in progression and moving forward and knowing the answers to things and not just being told this is the way it is. And generations before the millennials tend to clash a little bit with millennials in the workplace because of that perception of entitlement. And I don't know if you recall Joel Stein's article in Time Magazine that came out a few years ago, but that really started the firestorm on millennials in the workforce and them being lazy and entitled. When in reality, many of the companies that I work with, if they're millennials, they're seeking just a quality of life that's different than previous generations. And that creates a lot of angst and questions between different generations.
I know with a lot of my clients, there's a large pushback because millennials are coming in and they're wanting their day to look different. They're wanting, there's things like working from home. There's different ideas that millennials bring into the workforce. And it's really almost causing havoc because there's a continuous fight or battle going on between the two.
Absolutely. You know, I tend to work with my clients in four different areas, and that's engagement, mentorship, looking at your own company culture, and then coaching. And that can really alleviate a lot of those things you just described by having open conversations. What is the difference between our generations, for example? I'm an Xer. I see things a little bit differently than you do, and here's why. Tell me how you see things. And by asking those open-ended questions, millennials are more curious. They would ask you further questions and why things are, not necessarily from a point of view of that's not the way I want it to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and what I heard from you there is you're shifting it from it being a threat, because I do get that feeling from a lot of my clients that they're seeing millennial and that generation and what they bring as a threat to their culture, a threat to the way they have always done things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely and, yeah. True.
Yeah, absolutely. So what other myths or perceptions are happening around the millennial generation?
Well, one thing that the millennial generation does very well is that they're really good about being before doing. And as a coach, Jenna, you talk about this a lot, I'm sure, that we're always trying to get ourselves to a place of being before doing. And when we get too caught up in the doing of things and tasks and routine, we tend to lose ourselves. And the millennials have said, I'm done with that. I want to live and then work, where boomers want to work and then live, and same with Generation X. So some of the myths are that millennials are lazy, and my experience has been that they simply want to put their lives before work. Millennials have been brought up in an environment of very different circumstances than Xers or boomers or generations previously. And part of what they saw was in the downturn in the economy, they saw parents losing homes, businesses. That's part of the reason millennials are living home longer. They want to really develop a life before developing a career or simultaneously while developing a career. And they're not really willing to sacrifice their lives for a company or a career.
And that sounds like an entire societal or even worldwide shift in the way we do things. And I don't ever remember, and maybe I just don't remember, but I don't remember any other generation having such an impact as the millennials seem to be having in that idea of what our lives are to look like and what our work life is to look like. I get the idea that past generations have almost compartmentalized things. So you have your work life and you have your home life. And and I know that for a long time I built my life around that. And that doesn't seem to be the case with this new generation coming into the workforce.
Not at all. And I like to tell people I'm an Xer with a millennial mentality, because I want to have a happy life. I want to have no discernment between being happy at work and being happy at home. And I'll do anything I have to do myself to make sure that that occurs. I don't want to flip a switch when I leave work and when I come home. And millennials don't either. There was a quote in the USA Today recently from a financial planner who caters to millennials. And one of his clients said the millennial generation tends to want to arrive at their own conclusions, and they don't want to be told you have to do this, this, and this. They want to answer a sequence of questions to solve the problem for themselves. And that's really different than previous generations who said you get a job, you punch a clock, you put in your time, and you retire. You get a gold watch, and you go do your next phase of life. Millennials want to live their phase of life consistently throughout their lives and not have these different buckets of now I'm doing this and now I'm doing this.
Absolutely. And when I think about some of the things that you've said about the quality of life and being versus doing, and then the one of the perceptions being of the sense of entitlement that comes with that. And if you have a leader of an organization and the response to what you just said being, no, I need them to come in. I just need them to do their job. That's I can see a lot of strife there.
Yeah. The thing is, it's more than just a job for millennials. Millennials are very focused on, social situations, economic situations. In fact, the Deloitte Millennial Survey this year that came out points out that 83% of millennials want to work with a business that has a positive impact in the world. And they want the company's purpose to be a big part of the reason they work there. They want to know intimately what businesses are doing besides focusing on profit, which they find valuable. It ranks very high in many of the statistics. It's not like they ignore it, but they want more. They don't want to just come to make money, and they don't want to make profit alone as a sole reason to go to work. They want to make sure that the companies that they're going to work for are doing well in the world, which is why most millennials are focused on smaller to medium-sized companies rather than the gigantic corporations, with the exception of Apple and Google.
Yeah, and I hear in that is opportunity, right? The the level of opportunity that millennials can bring into an organization and what their perspective can do. It sounds powerful to me.
Yes, that brings us back to the difference between the generations, and that is a big one, which is the world is shrinking due to technology. And so the more awareness we have of what's really going on in the world, real time, through real people, the more this is going to grow. And organizations are going to struggle. They're going to struggle unless they figure out how to plug into, attract and retain the millennial generation, as well as women. Women in leadership and millennials in leadership go hand in hand with the most successful companies.
Yeah, you look at statistics like in, you know, the Business Insider, where women ranked 54.5% in overall leadership effectiveness, and men ranked 51.8%. Mm-hmm. You know me, and I believe women are the ones to watch for our future. So let's talk about that. I want to get your perspective on what female millennials bring with them as they engage in the workforce.
Well, you just kind of touched on some of that. Women, like millennials, are a sign of successful companies. And Fast Company just did a future of work study and why the most successful organizations have women and millennials in charge. And it was really fascinating. So I suggest for all of your listeners to check that out to get more details. But the main issue that gets in the way is lack of opportunities for women and millennials. Women had the edge in development plans and in knowing where they needed to improve, but men had more chances to lead in visible ways. That's lead in visible ways, not lead in visible ways. So the same thing goes on with millennials that come out of school come out of high school or college to go get work. They tend to be viewed upon as having lack of experience and not really able to take on some of these leadership roles. So it's up to the corporate culture to develop them, but they're not sure how to plug and play. So you have to be able to put a plan in place to be able to mentor and coach and take your time. It's not a matter of turning and burning bodies anymore for millennials. They won't stay. They need to be brought along a little slowly and really create buy-in for your culture and your organization.
Yeah, and I can hear right now some leaders saying, I don't have time.
Yeah.
I don't have, right? But the whole point is, if you don't make the time, it's the priorities piece, right? And understanding the future and understanding direction and where you can go with this, from what I see in that. And, you know, there's a whole environment that comes with millennials, and you said a little bit about it, but, you know, what are millennials born into, and what can the future hold for us around millennials?
Well, the millennial generation is the first to fully benefit from the internet, along with social media. These mediums have allowed millennials and millennial women to be connected to a wider world. So there's a more exposure to multiculturalism and other generations than ever before. So where they're drawing their inspiration is coming from a different place than previous generations that lived in more of a vacuum. They also have more self-confidence. Millennial women especially were raised to be goal and achievement oriented, and more women are entering graduate school than men for the first time in history. They're also all millennials are willing to pave their own way. Let's think about that for a moment. They're willing to pave their own way. Now, that may not be the way I would want my way to be paved, but they're willing to do their own thing. They're willing to have coffee groups that can collaborate around what life could look like rather than having board meetings about setting policy. And those are some very different ways of viewing the world. So if employers can begin to understand that, and some have done this very well and some are way off the mark, those cultures that do understand that will be very successful moving forward. And those that don't, in my opinion, will struggle mightily, because without an army of people, your business just starts to struggle.
Yeah, so perhaps it's not the case of a generation having entitlement or being lazy or not willing to do the work. It's more about the work looking differently, as you say, and for employers to be open to what this generation is bringing into their organization and looking for ways to embrace it or to learn from it or to see opportunity in it.
Yes, if more organizations were to focus on what they do for the world, what they do for nonprofits in their community, how are they treating the environment, how are they treating their people, those four things, not necessarily talking about long-term career goals with our firm, what happens in 20 years if you've been here with the company. Most millennials won't be thinking past 5 years at the maximum. So you have to attract them through different influences than previous generations have had that matter. And in order to do that, you need to talk to millennials and ask them what matters. And that seems so basic. I'm smiling as I say it, because as a coach, we ask a lot of questions and we want to know what makes you tick. And many corporate managers and executives are not geared that way. They're geared toward profit, toward higher levels of success and expansion. And we have to take a step back and say, we can't move toward those things unless we engage with our people. And our people, as of 2020, will be some studies say as much as 52% of our workforce. So we need to engage them about the things that are important in their lives for their time and not what we thought was important when we were that age.
And what a substantial shift that is. You know, I'm hearing a couple things from you, and one is there's a level of accountability that's now coming into the workplace, and it's being driven by a lot by technology and information and the ability to get information. It's also being driven by the generation coming into the workforce. But there's two things that I hear from you. One is there's now a new level of accountability for an organization. And the second is responsibility. And whenever I think of responsibility, I'm not actually speaking of the word together. I'm breaking it apart. You know, responsibility to me means responsibility, being able to respond. And so when I hear you say that, I'm feeling like it's larger than just the organization. You know, when you talk about environmental issues and cultural issues and all of the different things happening in our world, I'm almost hearing the organization becoming engaged with that and almost intertwining with that a little bit more with an accountability to it.
Absolutely. You're on target with that. We live in such a fast shifting world anymore. It's really amazing to me. I was talking with a friend of mine the other day about when we were kids, and the big thing for us to do when we were kids was to go out and ride our bikes, and that was it. We'd lose days just riding our bikes with no place to go, no plans. If you look at kids today, and I work with a lot of youth groups, they're booked. I mean, I talked with one of my kids the other day in Leadership Youth who was getting home at 12:30 at night from a lacrosse game. We're always on in this environment. We're always on. And so when you're under that kind of pressure, you tend to want to find things that have meaning when you're just jumping from task to task and place to place. And the millennials have really embraced that. They want to be doing their tasks, and they want to be busy, and they want to be on technology, but they want it to have a purpose. It's not just a way to waste time. And that's one thing I really love about working with the millennial generation, and I'm a fan, if you can't tell, is that they have a joy for life, and they really want to engage on deeper issues, and they want to surround themselves with people who have the same mindset toward bringing a greater good to the world. And I think that's a beautiful thing. How do you make that shift in the corporate world? Coaching is a big part of that. Bringing someone in to help understand what the needs are. Talking to millennials is really, really critical. You can do that today just by simply asking questions. And then convincing your company culture that it's time to shift, even down to the decor and some other issues, some other effects in your organization to show that you are really taking a look at these processes and not just putting a Band-Aid on it to attract the right people.
Absolutely. And what an opportunity. It's exciting to me when I think about a generation that's going to, they're going to ask tougher questions of me, and they're going to allow me to think a little bit broader than what I currently know. And then on the other side of the opportunity is a generation ahead that can bring their own wisdom and ability to the millennials, and to that mentorship piece like you're speaking mm-hmm. about. So it's not an us versus them. If we intertwine like a, you know, the spider web effect of multi-generations, then wow, right?
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Just that's the word that comes up for me. And, you know, you had said something earlier to me about generations and how many generations are now in the workforce. Can you share that with the audience?
Yeah, it's very interesting. For the first time in history, we have five generations in the workforce as of this year. We've got the silent generation, which is the World War II generation. We have the boomers. We have Gen X. And then we have Gen Y, or the millennials. And then just this year, Gen Z is entering the workforce. And so you want to talk about diversity. We've got young kids who are getting their first jobs all the way to World War II veterans. It's a wonderful opportunity if you're so inclined to ask questions and engage. Another interesting observation from my point of view is with this leadership youth group that I'm involved with, their favorite day every year is spending time at the retirement homes. And it's very emotional. These kids engage in a way that is just unbelievably beautiful. But one of the things that is very interesting to me is that here you've got Z to millennials in that leadership youth group engaging with generation, the silent generation, and coming away with an understanding, an appreciation from both sides on how their lives are different. And if we can incorporate that same kind of thing into our daily routines on the job, there's nothing that can stop us, and it's going to be impressive to see what kind of changes happen in the world in the future.
Absolutely. And if you gave me the chills with that. I mean, what a time we live in. Mm-hmm. And if an organization can really embrace this. So what are some key things you want people to walk away from this call?
Well, there's a lot. The number one thing is be open-minded and see things through different lenses. As we get older, and I'm getting older, so I can totally relate to this, we start to tunnel vision a little bit into how we've been brought up, into our beliefs, and how we see the world. But it's a different world. Millennials have known nothing but war during their childhood. They've seen the worst economic downturn in the world since the Great Depression. Costs are skyrocketing. So there's a lot of differences that they have than to what we've had. And then from the DDI conference board's report, I'd like to tell you about these five core values quickly. Mm-hmm. These are millennial core values. Collaboration, we're all in this together. flexibility, openness to how the job gets done, transparency, being in the know, being casual, just be yourself. And the work style is getting less and less formal because of that. And then the last one is balanced. Successful life as a whole. And if we can all take those things in, we'll be able to start resonating with corporations and individuals. Imagine what we can do if we can just plug and play with each other on a generational basis.
Absolutely. And it's powerful. It's very, very powerful. It's powerful for all of the generations involved. You know, nothing, I like you, have a great deal of love and respect for youth, and I engage with them in different ways. And there is nothing more beautiful, in my perspective, than taking an individual that may be of a younger generation and allowing them to contribute, giving, you know, enabling.
Yes.
Instead of spending all of our time disabling this generation, what if we enabled them and what could they bring? And I think you've done a beautiful job of speaking to that and sharing a great deal of insight on that. So just embrace. Embrace is the word I take away from here.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's just a fantastic opportunity if we see it that way. So taking some of these labels that we're putting on a generation that can really step up our game to the next level.
Absolutely. It's all about collaboration. And let's not forget that the oldest millennials are now in their mid-30s and they're taking on leadership roles. So it's not just about the young millennials, but embracing the older millennials who have a lot to offer our businesses.
Absolutely. Open and available. Well, Scott, it's always great to spend time with you. Thank you for taking out some time in your schedule to be with me and to share your wisdom with all of our listeners. So you have yourself a great rest of your day, and to the audience, thank you for being here, and I hope you gleaned a lot from Scott. He has a great deal of wisdom. Scott, why don't you just give them a little bit of information on how they can reach you if they have any further questions?
Sure. You can reach me through my website at creative-conflict-solutions.com. That's creativeconflictsolutions.com. And you can always find me on LinkedIn and Facebook as well under Scott Sadler, S-A-D-L-E-R.
Fantastic. So for those of you tuning in, please join me next time as I'm joined by Greg Stiles, a high performance coach, as we take on the subject matter of living confidently. Thanks, everyone. Have yourself a great day.
Thank you for joining Jenna on today's program, Women That Lead, Our Leading Edge. For more information regarding today's show or on any of the programs Women That Lead offers, please visit www.womenthatlead.com. Until next time, lead with alignment, passion, and purpose.